Many thanks to Brian and Daphne and Philip for leading us in that worship and praise. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Have you enjoyed it? It's been a real blessing to us. Thank you. Yes, you may do that. Why not? You're thanking the Lord for the talent that He has given to these people. I'm going to get you to stand to read two portions of Scripture before we turn to the message for this evening. And so if you would like to turn to Matthew chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 to 8, and then we're going to Luke chapter 2, and we're reading from verse 7 there in Luke chapter 2. Two passages of Scripture, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 8, and then Luke's Gospel chapter 2, and we read verse 7, until the angels go rejoicing to see this which has happened in Bethlehem. So let's stand to read God's Word, Matthew chapter 2, and reading the first 8 verses. Thank you so much. That is, if you're able to stand. Luke, Matthew chapter 2, and the verse 1, and here's how it goes. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Jesus should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come to a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Now Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.'" Then over there to Luke's Gospel in chapter 2, reading from verse 7, and we'll go through when the shepherds come back rejoicing. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, and it goes like this: "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the guest room in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. And the angel said unto them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.' And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered of those things which were told them by the shepherds." Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless those readings of His Word to our heart. You may be seated. There's a popular children's film shown at Christmas, and I'm sure you'll have heard of it. I've heard of it, but never watched it, and it's called The Grinch. You've seen it, you've heard it, haven't you? And the Grinch wasn't very happy. It's called The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. The Grinch thought that he could steal Christmas from the people of Whoville, and if he could steal it, they would miss Christmas. But the people of Whoville realized that Christmas wasn't about the presents and decorations, and definitely not about the roast beast. And this little poem was written about the Grinch. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stand puzzling and puzzling, how could it be so? It came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes or bags. And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas perhaps means a little bit more? Have you heard that one before? The people of Whoville didn't miss Christmas, but there are people all over the world to this very day who have missed Christmas and are in great danger of missing Christmas. I'm going to look at three individuals, the danger of missing Christmas in Abbots Cross. I'm going to look at three individuals, and they may represent someone here or over in the hall or perhaps listening online. Somehow, with all the commotion and with all the evidences and with all the appearances of angels and things like that, there are three individuals that missed Christmas. That missed Christmas. The first one, innkeeper, missed Christmas. It says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7 that there was no room for him in the inn. I was looking up the Greek word for the room, the word for inn. And it's a word, a Greek word called kataluma, or it means upper room or guest room. And what I discovered from Ken Ham of Genesis Ministries, he says that the stable in which Jesus was born could easily be of the lower part of the building upon in which the residents lived in the upper part. And in the upper part there was what was called a guest room. The word kataluma is also used by Jesus when they were looking for the upper room to celebrate the Passover. And so, if you can see the scene, here's an innkeeper or an individual who has a guest room in his house. And when it comes to the birth of the most important individual in the world, there was no room in the guest room. There was no room in the upper room. And here's something for you. He would have also had other members of his family, his wife, and his children, if Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis are correct in their assessment of the times in which Jesus was born. His wife would have been there. His children perhaps may have been there. And special guests already were occupying the guest room. But in every nativity scene, have you ever seen the innkeeper included in the nativity scene? Have you ever seen perhaps his wife included? Have you noticed that it was Mary that covered him in swaddling clothes? And it was Mary that brought him forth. In fact, the story would lead us to believe that she brought him into this world alone. Culture in those days, as far as my study is concerned, which there are various interpretations, would even suggest that Joseph was not there for the birth. He was outside. In olden days, at least down south, the father was never allowed into the delivery room for the child. I wasn't allowed in for Raymond's birth. I wasn't there for Darren's birth because I wasn't allowed in. And it's only of recent days that the father would have been allowed in for the delivery. And it would appear that Mary was all alone. Now, where were the nurses, the midwives that were present for Moses' birth? Where were they for Jesus' birth? Was this innkeeper, this homemaker, where was his compassion and his concern for Mary and her lone child birth? Why were they absent? There was too many other things to do. If you're running an inn, just like running a family, or running a business, or trying to make it through life, someone has said it's like living in the forest with a million trees, and every tree becomes an obstacle around which you must somehow get around. And so if you can think of this innkeeper, this home owner, this individual who had an upper room, you can study it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. It's there for you to learn yourself. Go into Ken Ham and Genesis and they'll give you a description. Where were they? They were just too busy. There were more important people in the guest room. I wonder, are you in danger of missing Christmas because there's other more important things to do? Now let me make that a wee bit more plain. Are you in danger of missing Christ in your life because there's other more important things to do? There's another important guest in your upper room, in your guest room of your heart. You're diverted, you're distracted by the things that are crying for your attention. They're leading you in a merry dance. They're wooing you away from the urgency of your soul salvation, because there's someone else in the guest room that can only be fulfilled and filled by Jesus Christ himself. Chasing after a relationship. Chasing after some ambition. Chasing after something that does not have the right to own or occupy the guest room of your heart. You know, the devil, he's a master at distraction. And he throws out his hook, gets you hooked on the busyness of family life, the business of home life, the business of education, young people, the business of other things that you must reach and achieve, because everybody else is doing it. And so you just go the way of the world. And you miss Christ. There was no room. I'll tell you how I arrived at this deeper study. It's because it does not say that it was the innkeeper's inn or stable. It says there was no room for him in the inn, and so he was born in a stable. So the Bible leaves it very general. Therefore, there could be no room in your stable. The innkeeper. G. Campbell Morgan writes, "She brought him forth. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. It's a very beautiful, but oh, the pity of it. The loneliness of it. That in the hours when womanhood should be surrounded by the tenderest care, Mary was alone." And he goes on to say that the method of the writer is very clear. She with her own hands wrapped the baby around with those swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, for there was no one else to do it. Too busy. Second person that missed. By the way, before I move on, whoever owned this guest room didn't know that there was a king knocking for admission. a king was bound to be, was about to be born. The creator of the world was seeking admission to his guest room. And it's the king that's seeking admission to your guest room. King of kings, Lord of lords. And I could very quickly launch into a wonderful message on the glory, the joy, the privilege of a king seeking admission in my life. The second person that missed Christmas was Herod. Herod missed Christmas. Now, he wasn't ignorant. He knew full well that someone must come to challenge his position. Herod was a very jealous individual. Herod was favored by the Romans because he was in cahoots with Rome, and because they acknowledged his favor and according to their political agenda, they gave him a place to rule and they also gave him an army. Herod knew to play the political game for his own ends. In fact, it was this Herod that took on the name King of the Jews for himself. And remember that Pilate had the inscription over the cross of Christ, "Here is the King of the Jews." And then foreigners come along from the east. They say, "A king has been born. A king of the Jews. But I'm the king of the Jews. I'm the master of my own life. I'm the master of my own destiny. I want to hold on to my own life." By the way, we all know the wickedness of Herod's heart. Do you know that Herod had his own children killed because he thought that they would try to usurp his throne? That's how jealous he was for his position. He was blinded by pride of position in his life. Now you know where I'm going with this. There may be those here this evening and you'll miss Christmas. You'll miss the message of Christmas and you'll miss the reality of Christmas, because you will not have this man to rule over you. It'll cost you too much. I don't want to be part of what our brother David Hamilton said last week. I don't want to be part of the God squad. I don't want to be known as the religious crowd. Who's asking you to become part of the religious crowd? I've got my own life. I'm not going to let this man. I don't want to be involved. Don't we see the parallel? Someone who was so full of heartlessness, arrogance and self-preservation and jealousy, jealous with fear. And he missed the Christ of Christmas. Businesses will associate themselves with minority groups just to gain a few more customers. But I don't see businesses adopting the truth of Christ in their advertising slogans, because they know it's unpopular. There's a lot of people, and I don't mean to be too negative on a carol service, but I believe in preaching the gospel. There's a lot of people going to hell today because following Christ is not popular. And he challenges too many of our selfish aims and ambitions. I'll not have him. I like my life. In fact, I'm happy with my life, thank you. And then we rationalize ourselves. We actually tell lies to ourselves. We rather believe a lie than the truth, in that we try to ignore the fact that there is an eternity just ahead of us. That this message of the gospel is not real. And even that, all the while knowing within our hearts, it is real. Here's the last person, or should I say group of people, that missed Christmas. You'll find it in Matthew 2 and verse 4. Because Herod was jealous, and because the message came to Herod, he sent for the scholars of his day. They didn't have to get out Bible dictionaries. They didn't have to go to Google search to find out who or where Jesus was born. It was in their scriptures. They knew to return to Micah. They knew about Bethlehem Ephrata, thou that hast been privileged amongst the people. Out of thee shall he come forth, out of thee. They knew full well, just 6 miles down the road, there was going to be the King of Kings. If I had known what they knew, I'd have been parked there. I'd have bought a house as near to that place as I possibly could, so that I would be there and one of the first to the manger. They didn't even bother going. In fact, let me blow another myth out of the Bible. When the wise men came, people's minds. When the wise men came, Jesus was probably somewhere between 18 months to 2 years old at that time. How many people do we learn of or read of that actually went to see him? Certainly not Herod. The wise men went home another way. And the shepherds, listen to this, the shepherds went out and they saw this great thing and they spread it abroad and everybody thought it was great and there wasn't one went to meet him. That we read of. What I'm trying to say, we can go to hell from a pew in the church. We can go to hell from the most hotly preaching gospel church in the community, because we become familiar with truth. And it doesn't take a fidge or create an urgency. And you know what they say, don't you? Familiarity breeds contempt. It's old hat. I know it off by heart. But not moved to do anything about it. The danger of missing Christ in your life. Too busy. Too proud. Too familiar. Too familiar. Can I warn you, please? When we think of Christ this Christmas, remember he's your Savior. He wants to be your Savior. It was your Savior was born in a manger 2021 years ago. And he came to die for you. And don't you miss it. And don't you let the devil distract you from it. Let's bow together.